Welcome to Little Birdie TV. I'm your host, Scoot, and it's US Masters Week. It's the greatest week in golf. I'm joined by Nick Tedeschi. He's sporting his US Masters attire just to rub it in. You were there last year, were you, big fella?
Oh, I was there last year. I really convinced myself on the way home to make this year's Masters better, not being there. I just know where everything was. I couldn't be more wrong. I'm a massive FOMO. I'm about to make myself a pimento cheese after this for lunch. It's, massive FOMO. But I've probably got about a tenth of the Masters gear I bought. I was just saying off air that I wish I'd bought about 50 more items.
Yeah, you can never buy enough. And it's an amazing little fight and arm wrestle in the merch tent, and it just goes like hotcakes. I'd love to have 10% in shares in the joint. But Big Daddy, Adam Fraser, he's back from the abyss. He's been bookmaking, he's been betting. But it's great to have you back, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, Scoot. Yeah, good to be here for the Masters. It's an exciting week coming up, so hopefully we can pick a few winners.
Yeah, Johnny Rahm's looking to defend his title, and that's always a difficult thing to do, especially now he's defected to the LIV Tour, and that puts a strange perspective on things. A little bit of trolling, casual trolling from the organisers, and you'd probably expect that with Brooks Koepka getting paired with some slow players and a bit of hijinks. So it's good to see there's no love lost there. But the big story, I think, at the moment with looking at the early forecast for the tournament, it looks like it's going to be a carbon copy. There's going to be plenty of rain on day one, exactly like last year. It was horrendous conditions there. And looking directly at the forecast overnight on that first day, it's going to absolutely bucket till about 10 o'clock in the morning, which is right about tea time there. So the first groups out will get the best of the conditions with the greens and everything slowing right up. But Fraser, your experience, you played a lot of golf. The start, or you know, the first few groups, big advantage over later in the day on day one with plenty of rain.
Yeah, absolutely. As long as there's not too much debris on the course, and Augusta National is probably better at than anyone of clearing the course of that and making sure the course is as pristine as possible. So when you've had a lot of rain, you want to be getting out there after the rain delay, if there is one, and having the best rain. You know, it can get quite difficult if a course has had a lot of rain and the greens are very soft. Generally, you can get the traffic in and around the hole in that sort of 15-foot range, and it can become very difficult to hold putts later in the day if the greens have had a lot of traffic on very soft conditions. Now, Augusta National is probably better than any course of holding up under those conditions, but still, I still think it does make a difference. You do get that trampling effect. So we'll wait and see. But if I was a player, I would love to be coming out there straight after the rain. If conditions are benign and the wind has dropped, I'd love to get out there early as a player and play and try and post a number.
Mm. And looking at the forecast too, it looks like the most wind's going to be around on that Thursday, and there's going to be little to no effect as the weekends get on. But they do, those greens are going to get super quick. The holes are going to get tougher. So there'll be hopefully a couple of players that get a lucky break early in proceedings. And fast starts, Nick Tedeschi, a paramount at Augusta. If you're not sort of in the first dozen players early, it makes it hard to chase down those leaders.
Yeah, it's not a chaser's course, Augusta. Over the last two decades, you'll find above the winners generally, nearly exclusively, been within kind of two to three shots of it. Not a course you're going to make up a lot of ground on. So get in early and contend and hope you're kind of there when the whip's hitting, because you know you're not going to be pulling back a 7-8 shot lead on the weekend, particularly where the traditional pin placements are on the weekend with the nice fast green and tucks nice and tight. So it's going to be paramount to get away early. So preempt someone like the Brooks, who's at the worst of it, and by the time he finishes at Bryan Harman, it might be dark. So he's put him in a filthy mood and getting able to be green. He's not really happy with that.
It was an interesting one last year. Rahm had the worst of it in the first couple of rounds. Brooks had everything sort of go his way. And I remember Brooks in the press conference after last year saying that he just stopped attacking on the last day and, tried to protect his lead. But it was an interesting market pre-Augusta, Rahm wasn't on fire. I think he was installed the $6 early favorite. He was winning everything, and he ballooned out to sort of a $11 or $13 starting price right at the death there. So it's an interesting tournament for players that are under pressure or they're in the spotlight. There can be some players that sort of have been running a little bit cold into Augusta or the limelight slightly off them that they can bounce back into form here. But for you, Fraze, you've got a bit of a, I'd say it's like a systems pick here, and you're pretty heavily anchored to players that sort of rank in the sort of the top 15 of world golf rankings to find your winner of Augusta.
Yeah, I am. And look, if you've got a few minutes just to go through it, Scoot, the listeners might be interested in hearing this, is that the champions at Augusta over time, and particularly in more recent times, it has a knack of bringing out the best players in the world. Prior to 2010, we kind of had the Phil Mickelson-Tiger Woods show, where they notched up 7 wins between them in 13 years. Now, they were two of the hottest players going around, Tiger particularly. Since then, you've had players. So if you start from 2010 on, Phil Mickelson was ranked 3rd in the world at the time when he won his Masters in 2010. Charles Schwartzel was 29. Adam Scott was 7th in the world. Bubba Watson was 12th. Jordan Spieth was 4th. Danny Willett was 12th in the world. Sergio Garcia was 11th. Now, this is before the week starts. Patrick Reed was 24th. Tiger Woods was 12th in 2019 when he won. Dustin Johnson was number 1 in the world. Hideki Matsuyama was 20th in the world. Scottie Scheffler was number 1, and John Rahm was number 1. So that's, if you have a look at the top 10 players in the world, since 2010, nearly half of those players that have won at Augusta National have been ranked inside the top 10 players in the world at the start of the week. So you can also have a look and go, okay, well, What's a trend that's happening in those players that are ranked high in the world? Are they doing anything in their form prior to the tournament that stands out? There's several players out of that list that have had multiple wins in their 12 months prior to playing at Augusta National and winning. Bar Adam Scott and Hideki Matsuyama, every other player has notched up a win on the PGA Tour in the 12 months leading up to their win at Augusta National. And several players have notched up multiple wins. So if we have a look at this year, and you target players that are, say, inside the top, let's extend it. Let's have a look at players that are inside the top 20 in the world. Well, there's 3 players going into Augusta National this year who had multiple wins on the PGA Tour in the last 12 months, and they are Scottie Scheffler, John Rahm, and believe it or not, Victor Hovland. They're the only 3 players that have notched up multiple wins. Other players that haven't won, I can't have someone like Cameron Young, even though he's a good player, and he's ranked quite, you know, reasonably ranked in the world right now at number 14. He hasn't even won on the PGA Tour. So I'd like to see players that have at least shown that they can win on the PGA Tour. Hasn't won. Russell Henley hasn't won in a while. Jordan Spieth hasn't won in a while. So these are players that I'll be looking at. Sort of Patrick Cantlay hasn't won in a while. Neither is Xander Schauffele. Now, Xander Schauffele is an interesting one. He's probably going to be on a lot of people's selections, but I personally can't have Xander Schauffele. He hasn't won on tour since 2022. I don't like him down the stretch. Particularly major. He hasn't won a major, but he may go and win the tournament. I don't know, but I just can't have him.
Yeah.
And I'd like to look at winning patterns, and there's a history there at Augusta National. We can match that up. I think it gives the listeners a good chance of maybe backing a winner.
Good question for you, Fraze. I've kind of done a nice run along the same kind of thing. I'll look for someone in the top 30 that I've almost exclusively won. Obviously, no list players on the I'm not getting any OWGR points, mate. It's difficult. I kind of went for the Data Golf top 30. How are you kind of factoring in your live players in that? And where do you kind of put a win on the live tour relative to the PGA Tour? Or are you just ruling a line from the get-go?
Yeah, look, it's one of the big reasons why it's one of the major reasons why I don't actually do any golf, a lot of golf wagering anymore, because it's so difficult now to line up players coming from, particularly for majors, coming from LIV and the PGA Tour, and then they come together, because on the LIV Tour, they're only playing three-round tournaments. They're not playing four-round tournaments. And I like to have all the best players playing week in, week out, and they're so much easier to line up. Now we've got a big separation between where our best players are. Some are on the LIV, some are on the PGA Tour. You know, I was saying to Scoot yesterday, it's a little bit like a horse race. When we get our big horse racing events, sometimes we get the international horses come over. We get the Japanese horses, the UK horses, and all of a sudden it can be difficult to line them all up. That's very similar to a golf tournament. And I've kind of left a few LIV players out of my selections this year because they're playing three-round tournaments. And I know Brooks was up there last year. He was a LIV player, but I kind of keep an eye on the LIV Tour, and I'm not seeing the standout performances that I'm seeing, you know, that I want to do on the players that are going into the Masters from the PGA Tour. Rory McIlroy's dropped a little bit. He's dropped down the rankings in the stroke averages this year. He's apparently gone to see Butch Harmon. He's going to be a player that I think Butch can get firing. Butch knows Augusta very well. He's had some success there, quite a lot of success. It'd be interesting to see what Rory starts to do, because Rory's been one that since 2014 at Augusta hasn't really fired there. I think maybe it's left a few demons. He's been good at finishing in the top 10, but he hasn't gone to that in contention, coming down to the last six holes of contending the tournament. He hasn't done that for quite some time. So it'd be interesting to see whether Butch can turn him around.
I think you want to be a bull and you want to be mentally strong to win Augusta. Looking at past sort of winners of the tournament, let's have a quick look at the top of the betting market, and then we'll go through, I guess, some of the big names. So Scheffler's a favourite, Top Sport $5.80, Rory McIlroy $11, John Rahm $12, Xander Schauffele is $16, Hideki Matsuyama $19, Brooks Koepka $22, Jordan Spieth $22. Joaquin Niemann has $26, Ludvig Ardberg $29 on debut, Bryson DeChambeau $34, Matt Fitzpatrick $34, Victor Hovland $38, Tony Finau $41, on the same line as Wyndham Clark, who's on debut also, and then you've got Cantlay, Will Zalatoris out at $46, and then you've got 50s about Cameron Young, Shane Lowry, Tommy Fleetwood, Cam Smith out at $56 with Morikawa, Johnson, and Justin Thomas. Let's have a bit of a chat about some players that you guys are keen on based on some of that profiling that you've already spoken about. Scotty Scheffler, he's one too, as you said, Fraser. He's one of the players in Arnold Palmer. He fits the profile perfectly. He looked pretty good last year, Nick Tedeschi, without sinking many putts. Just couldn't get it up and going, but he's an obvious favourite.
Yeah, he's changed putters. I've just certainly seen the system. He's won twice in his last three starts, but he did miss a pretty easy putt in the last together to a player as well. Wouldn't say his putting demons have completely left him just yet. Look, he profiles tremendously. Like at Augusta, you know, first and foremost, you're after ball strikers. You want someone who can score on par fives, someone who can avoid bogeys, and someone who's active on the green. Well, Scheffler's first stroke stand approach, first grid in rig, 10th in scrambling, first in par five performance. First year appears, yeah, Riviera is probably the best guy here as well. He's finished top 12 the last 3 years. So there's absolutely no knock on Scheffler, but I'll eat this hat before I take $5.80 best one in the Masters. So yeah, this isn't tight. He's just too short. Like, there are too many good golfers to be taken, and you can't rely on his putter. You'll just leave me out at the price. Like, if he was $11, I'd be all over it, but $5.80, no.
What would you do, Fraser, with someone like Scheffler? Obviously, you've got him as a big chance. Would you rather have a look at him for round one, and if he's in contention, still be happy to take sort of $4 if he's thereabouts?
Yeah, if any of the listeners out there are people that like to take a pre-off position, I would definitely have Scotty Scheffler as a saver bet. So what that means is if you're having any bets on any other players, you would save a little bit on Scotty Scheffler, hoping to maybe you know, get a slightly better price on the run if you want to have a little bit more in. But at pre-off, I would definitely want to have a saver bet on Scotty Scheffler. As Nick just mentioned, he leads so many categories. I mean, he leads scoring average this year. He leads birdie average. He's won at the Masters before. He's the best player in the world. He's so consistent. You have to count him in at some point in your betting, whether he's however you want to structure it. I think he is short. He deserves to be that price because he is the best player. But from a betting perspective, I think you want to be having a safe bet on him. You don't want to be going all out on him because the field could hurt you because there's more players that, you know, could be challenging at a better price.
One of the biggest shorteners in betting, 60s into around $19, is Hideki Matsuyama. As you referenced before, Riviera form is good, and he swooped home Nick Tedeschi 9 under the final round to win there. He's a past winner, and the tougher this gets, the better. So if he can hold contention on day one on the wet deck, he's likely to roar home on the weekend when conditions get tough.
Yeah, what I love about Hideki is he's got that dog in him. And he can go super low. Like he can pile it up when he needs to, you know. So you wouldn't call Hideki one of the betters on tour, but on tough grains where it kind of evens out a bit, he can get as hot as anyone. So the winner of the era was sensational. He's won here before. He's an elite player. Yeah, I like to look at Masters. You know, I like to stick on a 5 or 6 months under the belt or being too confident about it. He's obviously been playing a while. He's a past winner. My only concern about Hideki is every manly's dog is tipping Hideki to do well. And no matter what the sport or what the race is, when there's a universal tip, they never lop. So, but I do like Hideki. I will be putting something on him. I think his form's been really, really good this year. Best year he's played since his Masters win. So, same contending. We'll be having something for sure.
Wyndham Clark's an interesting one. He won at Pebble. He won the US Open last year. He's been thereabouts in the last month. Does he come up a possible bet for you, Fraze? Or
well,
would you like him as a player?
He's $48, isn't he? Is he $48 in the market? Am I mistaken
there? Seems a big price for a guy that's been pretty consistent.
Well, he's top four in the world, so, I mean, you have to respect it. You know, any top five player in the world, you've got to respect. So, you know, he could pop up at that price. It's pretty attractive, $48.
First, it's hard to win on debut at the Masters, though.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, normally the players that are winning have learned to play the course and they understand it more as time goes on. So that could be a little bit of a negative factor for him. But I think it's a big advantage for any player that they can take advantage of the par fives and reach those par fives in two. You know, the second hole, the eighth hole, the 13th hole, the 15th. You know, those players that can reach those par fives in two comfortably have got a bigger advantage over the field. I'm not sure whether, you know, the number 8 player in the world, Brian Harman, I'm not sure whether he can reach and dominate those par fives. He's typically not a very long hitter compared to the others. So he may have to be laying up. That then makes it harder. You know, Scotty Scheffler's got length. He should have no problem reaching those par fives. Rory will have no problem. John Rahm should have no problem. Victor Hovland, I'm not so sure. He may struggle to reach all the par fives. But there's a young player really on the rise at the moment, Ludvig Abberg. Have you heard of him, Skid? He's creeping up. He's going to be a player to watch, I think. He's on a rapid rise world rankings at the moment. It'd be interesting to see what he does over the next few years.
This is his major debut. He's already won a couple. He's making his major debut. Incredible.
Interesting prop market there. Top debutant. You've got Adberg $4, Wyndham Clark $4.30, Bahardia $9.50, Denny McCarthy $11, Eric Cole $12. This says Nick Tedeschi written all over it. How do you play it?
I love Wyndham Clark. I'm back at Wyndham Clark to win it all. I don't like the lack of experience, but I think kind of as technology gets better and you kind of get more ability to kind of, you know, and picture go through Augusta, the advanced 20 years, I've been on YouTube and look at every hole. I'd be able to show you around now. I think that's going to change pretty quickly. So, so summed it all up there with how I have Clark plays. I just love everything about him. I love how Mitch Strong is. He's a tough SOB. I love how he's not doing what Victor does and a few others who are trying to tinker with their swing. He knows what he is. He has no coach. He chips in with this sports psychologist that's kind of going through, and he just kept winning. Like he didn't just stop after the US. So it wasn't one of those major winners who went into the UFC again. He went and won it all this year. Like he's been second at the players, second at the API. So, I'll be all laughing up.
Yeah, he's shown it. And he's just a great price for a debutant at $48, isn't he?
All right, let's have a quick chat about some of the LIV players. I went back and had a look at the tape last year. Nick Tedeschi, he made a pretty good case for John Rahm. I notice he's in your lay set. Is it a price thing this time around, or why aren't you as keen John Rahm this year?
Two things. Very hard to back up. I think they're two were back. But Tigers and all backed up since in the last 25 years. He isn't playing as well. I do watch a lot of LIV golf. His performance has always been around and Mark hasn't been as good. I don't think he's as happy. He kind of came out in this week going, well, he'd like LIV to go to 72 holes. Well, you know, he took the money. So you're playing 54 holes camp. Like that's the end of it. So, and I think whereas Brooks and DJ honestly do not give a shit about playing certain events on the PGA Tour, he cares. Like he really cares. Like I think he was devastated not to be at Riviera this year. I think he's loved the history game. It doesn't seem worried that. So I'm chips out John Rahm at the price. Yeah, leave me with that.
Waka Neiman, he won the Jeddah, won Mayakoba, goes good in the wet.
Won the Australian Open as well. So won three times in his last nine starts. Yeah, he's a top 10 player in the world, according to Data Golf. I've loved him for a long time. He's been playing exceptionally well on LIV. He stands out as the best player LIV kind of in the first four or five events this year. He's got length, at Augusta. He's played here. This is his fourth master. He's played four masters in group every single time. Best was a T16, so it's in that kind of mold of right age, right ranking, kind of touch out level of experience and improving. So yeah, Neiman is my best for the tournament. I'll be steaming into Neiman this year. I think he's great.
Looking at top sport market, top LIV golfer, Rahm 360, Brooks 550, DeChambeau 650, and then Neiman's at 675. So that is a big price if you agree with Nick Tedeschi there. Cam Smith, he's chopped off his mullet. Samson's lost his locks. Third in Hong Kong. Off the tee, can be quite wayward. Need to hit it long and straight here to get that important ball position. Hanley was just going, I reckon, last time that we saw him at Augusta last year. I thought he was only average. How can he turn it around?
I just think Cam's a little bit inconsistent at the moment with some of the scores that he's shooting. He seems to be quite hit and miss. And when you look back to when he was playing well at the Masters, where he got in contention a few years ago, he was really playing well. I mean, he was very, very consistent. Where I don't think he's not, since he's gone to LIV, it's been a slight decline in his consistency week in, week out. I don't know whether that's the fact that they're playing less tournaments, three round tournaments. But yeah, I can't have Cam Smith this year. I'm sorry, but yeah, I can't.
All right, let's have a quick look at the first round leader market. Scheffler's the favourite, $12. 19, Rahm, McIlroy, $19. Xander Schauffele, $23. Koepka, $26. Matsuyama. So a lot of the big names there. Cam Smith, usually a fast starter, $34. Ardberg, $34. Matt Fitzpatrick, $34. Cantlay, around that $34 quote. And then you're getting out to 40s for players like Cam Young, Morikawa, Thigala, Shane Lowry, Tommy Fleetwood, Tony Finau. $41. Corey Connors is there at 51. This is usually Dogger. This is his little forte here. Dogger's in transit coming back from the USA. So he's had 4 weeks in America and he's had a bit of a foot fault. He's coming back a week too too soon. Not sure why he hasn't just swung past Augusta, but handed it awfully, the great man. But hopefully we can get him back for the second major. Nick Tedeschi, a couple of little quick starters. Any angles here at big odds? I know Doggy used to back one or two at sort of 40s and take 10 to 1 around four selections.
Yeah, there's three I'm going to be back, but it'll be 40 more early kind of darts. But the three I like, Corey Connors is out in the, I think, fifth group. Very consistent, like him a lot this week. One of the better ball strikers on the PGA Tour. Not sure he's got the fight in him to go all the way. I'll be grateful to him a bit this week, but love where he's playing, where he's drawn. So I'll be backing him. I like Tony Finau, similarly drawn early. The splits between his first round and the fourth round scoring kind of won't surprise anybody who's known him as a bit of a gunner start for a long time. But he has one kind of a couple of years back. So, but can score early. And Shane Lowry has a pretty good record in open rounds over the last 4 months. So I'll be having a little nibble on him. And a few others I like kind of just go up early. Taylor Moore was around the top of the board last year. He's off in the second group this year. Eric Van Rooyen, first out as well. He's been playing some really good golf this late as well. So a few little darts thrown us there. And the last one, Ryan Fox, not sure he's going as well, the New Zealander, but they'll have the ability to go a lot.
That's the other thing too with Augusta. Final round, favourites in the top of the market. Obviously, you used to do a lot of in-play betting, Fraze, and you used to send updated plays after each round. But once you get to deep into the tournament after that third round, it's very hard to find someone charged from a long way back. We saw Spieth come from a fair way back last year to fall short. Phil Mickelson got hot, but they were still miles off the pace. And it was, I guess, Brooks lost it, and I think he shot three over, and Johnny Rahm won it with three under on the final round. But unless you're in that sort of those top two final groups, it's hard to chase the leaders down.
Yeah, absolutely, and more so at Augusta. It's not a course like, I mean, have a look at somewhere like a British Open on a difficult course and it's extremely windy the last day. You can go out early and post a number and you can make up a lot of ground. You know, there's obviously the name of the guy that won, how was it? Won the British Open, came from miles back. There's been players over the years that have done that at the British Open, but typically it's harder at Augusta National to do that. And, you know, statistically, if you're having a look at players that lead by one, two, or three shots going in the final round, it's hard. It's very difficult statistically to come from more than four shots behind going into the last round to win tournaments. So, yeah, I think Augusta's shown over the history of time that most of the winners come from those last two groups on the final day.
Let's have a quick look at your systems picks as we spoke about earlier. So the top-ranked player, based on your top 15 world ranking, had a win in the past season. You've got first-ranked Scott Scheffler, two is John Rahm, and then three is Victor Hovland. So noticing a coaching change there, Victor. Nick Tedeschi, you're strongly against Victor. He looked okay early last year, but did fade heavily in the last the final round.
I was on the fence on Victor this year. I was a bit concerned about the kind of coach changes, lack of play, lack of form. But when I saw his scripting and saw the floral filth that he'll be wearing, I was chipped. So I've never seen a Masters winner wear a worse shirt. So I've got to be against Victor on that alone.
And, Fraser, you had a lot of conviction around your lays and people that you're going to sink the boots into, and I think they're on a similar page as Nick Tedeschi. Your top five lays, Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay, Cameron Young, Russell Henley, the local boy, and then Nick Tedeschi's poster boy and potty mouth, Tyrrell Hatton.
Yeah, the angry ant. I can't have players that, I mean, and this is targeting players inside the top 20 on the world rankings, or, you know, close to it, top 15 even. That's going to take out quite a percentage out of the market to pot those five players. And I'm going to go out on a limb because I like to see players that have won in the last 12 months. If they're going to go on and win a major, I at least want them to show me that they can win on the PGA Tour or worldwide. somewhere that, you know, Tyrrell Hatton hasn't won since I think the 2020 season on the PGA Tour. He's got a bad temper under pressure. He beats himself up so hard. He hasn't won a major yet. Is that holding him back from winning a major? Maybe, but I want to pot him. I don't want to have him. Russell Henley, I don't want to have. Cameron Young, I don't want to have. Cameron Young's a player on the up, but he hasn't won on tour yet. He hasn't shown me he can win on the PGA Tour, and you at least need to show me you can do that. Russell Henley didn't win last season. Patrick Cantlay didn't win last season, and Xander Schauffele didn't win last season. So I like to be on those players that have shown me that they're in good form, and winning form is good form. Unfortunately, they get it crossed through for my selection. I won't be backing them at all.
I like that. Some really good lay angles. Nick Tedeschi, top pick. Jaakko Niemen, he's a clear bet for you, and he'll be your best way.
Yeah, I absolutely love Niemen this week. Like I said earlier, that tremendous ball striker, great ball. Ticks just all those boxes around home experience, ranking, a must top 20. So kind of having a little bit of an form is a good guide for me. So clear top pick for me. And the others at the top of the market, but I'll be kind of betting it. Yeah, Koepka, we haven't discussed, but five majors, and I agree with everything Frey said around needing to win on the PGA Tour or Liberty there. Everyone except for Brooks Koepka. Do not care if Brooks Koepka runs last in the Orange Open. as his key guide to this, like, he does not care about anything but majors. Well, I've never seen anyone in almost any sport be able to flick the switch on for a big tournament like that. So Dalali's paired with Harman. That might be an afternoon morning draw, but we'll be having something on Brooks. Hideki, we've discussed, we're having something there. We won't get the roughie, but in class, we're the last of the kind of big ones that I'll be having something on. I think his price is way too big and scared off a little bit by the debutant kind of factor. But yeah, he's just a guy who can get to the par fives. He's very mentally tough. I don't think Augusta's my going loss. So that'll be my four big players with best results beat Niemen and Clark.
I like some of your lays here. Rory McIlroy, happy to sink the boots in, especially at the price. Gosh, it'd be a nice little system if you laid Rory each week.
Well, with the day Rory wins the Masters, I'll put far ahead from laying him, but it won't really worry me too much because he is an absolute milk trigger when it comes to he'll charge him on the last day for a nice top 10 where he never had a chance of winning. I think he's too mentally fragile. I can't remember a Masters where he's in worse form. So, chips out. And the price, I just cannot get around that price at all. Like, he's legitimately one of those guys who should be on 20 off the wall kind of range. I just can't have him. And like Frey said, with the milk drinkers out there, Xander, they do not win. Like, obviously, especially Xander profiles beautifully for Augusta. If more Augusta suggests that, absolutely no chance I'll be back here. So, and Cam Young, exactly the same. Like, I think you want to talk to someone in Cam Young last year, Scoot. I know I've talked myself into him, don't think in a Masters, but I think the US Open was up in upstate New York last year. Never doing it again. Mm-hmm. When he starts winning, when these guys show the world wins, that's the difference between the Schefflers and the Rahms and the Brookses against these other guys. So, yeah, I'm just, in a fight that's different, I'm not going to be taking $16 Xander or $30 Cameron.
Cam Young put himself into so many good positions and just couldn't close out. Like, he was hovering the whole time and he just kept missing the unmissable parts or just bottling it late. Great ball position, and then his entry into the green, just something was always going wrong. Still finished top 10, was okay. A little bit like Russell Henley, just kept biting themselves and, shooting themselves in the foot. So, yeah, really frustrating. And I think that is the difference, and I touched upon it. If you're mentally tough and you've got the confidence and you believe, I think it goes a long way to winning. Frace, you were going to say something in and amongst that?
Obviously Scottie Scheffler and John Rahm have been found in the market. But as Nick was saying, there's some players there like Wyndham Clark at $48. Terrific price, number four player in the world, like $48. It's a fantastic price. Just add a small specky bet on, like Victor Hovland's $46. Max Patrick's $44. Max Homer's a good ball striker, and it looks like he's understanding Augusta a little bit more. He seemed to play okay last year. At $90. And then someone like Jason Day, who's shown that he can play Augusta well, he's $100 and coming back into form. He's starting to play well again. He's had a win in the last 12 months, 100 to 1, you know, and he's a top 20 player, and he's, or 21st in the world. He's almost top 20, but, you know, 100 to 1. And he's got the length to reach the par fives. He's a good ball striker. Look for someone like him to be sort of up. I wouldn't be surprised if Jason Day gets into the top five some stage going into the last, just on the weekend. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Well, he was the big short, and I think he was 150s into about 30 to 1 last year. So he was the Hideki Matsuyama that everyone sort of rallied for in last year's tournament.
Just on Jason, before we leave, he can get about $4 going to be top Aussie. Okay, it's obviously dominating that market. Mm. I think that's a tremendous bet.
Couldn't agree more. Based on maybe the stars align or a bit of Scooty flair here, I've got a top three based on Augusta itself and the stars aligning. There's two players that everyone seems to find, and that's Matsuyama and Neiman. They sort of have to become auto bets. And the one player that I think is an auto bet at Augusta, which will be to the disgust of Nick Tedeschi, is Jordan Spieth. I did hear that last year he went in exhausted. I know he's a little bit out of form, but he's someone that can get super hot at Augusta. So at around sort of $27 for all of those players, you could maybe couple of those up, and hopefully you can sort of trade yourself in and out of positions across the card. So after listening to the wisdom of these guys and around the traps, I'd say Spieth, Matsuyama, and Neiman. Consider those as your options. Nick Tedeschi, what's your best outwide prop bets? Of, I don't know if it was a heartbreaker, what Tiger making the cut last year and then to see him just limp off early the next day was gutting, being there on course. And the added insult was having prime position on 11 and then...
And
the siren went and we were all booted off course. Oh.
Still sick about that. prop bets. You can get $385 for any live player to win. Which looks great. I'm keen on obviously Brooks and Neiman, but I like Patrick Reed a great chance at a big price. Top lefty, Phil Mickelson, $5.50, is an insane good bet. Now, it's a lefty's course, but Harman, I know he has a particularly great record here. I know he's played particularly well. And like Slade's mentioned earlier, very short off the tee relative to some of these. But they're still not going well. $5.50. I think that's a tremendous bet for Kidderio. Always shows up here. And top amateur, Christo Lampard. I think you can get about $3 on him. So that'd be my better close it. And of course, we mentioned one earlier, top debutant, Brendan Clark.
Yep, outstanding stuff. And top live golfer, Neiman at $675, also at Top Sport. Having a look at Top Sport's early bets, they're pretty shrewd wages, I would have thought. Ludvig Adberg, $300 at $29, so a debutant that we've already spoken about. Someone's had $2,000 on Scotty Scheffler at the $6. Xander Schauffele, he's in the lay-in for us, $500 at $21. $250 on Wyndham Clark at $41. And Sahith Theegala, $250 at $61. He had a rocky start early, but he roared home with a 500 in the last round as well. So maybe the tougher it gets, he could bob up as a little bit of a smoky that no one sort of talked about there. But I think that's a bit of a wrap from us. Fingers crossed that we've steered you into a couple of nice lays. I think we're all going to go down with the ship with the same players that we've put a knife in. So if there's a Cantlay or if there's Xander or Rory, we'll be ducking cover, and it'll be a max wipeout for us. But, yeah, I think everyone will be on Matsuyama, so the bookies will be absolutely cowering if he hits the line, or Neiman, or even Scheffler. Looks like it's going to be a pretty rough result for the bookies there. So, guys, I appreciate your work. Thanks for your time. It's gutting we're not there, but can't wait to just grab hold of the remote and enjoy it. So good to have you back, Fraze. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you guys. let's get a winner.
Outstanding stuff. And we'll see you very shortly, Nick Tedeschi, and you'll be burning the midnight oil, no doubt, both ends.
I don't sleep with the times anyways. So, I know it's itself. I have a pain I put myself through over the next 4 days, maybe nearly as much as the pain I put myself through Augusta, or I've been in Queens for a week last year, so we'll be right.
Yeah, it was a sight to behold seeing Nick Tedeschi gallop down the 10th hole when it was walking and not running to get those early seats on a dewy morning. It was a miracle that he didn't land on his backside. But make sure you get there. It's a different beast, and just put on your bucket list and get across there. So hopefully you can back a winner and pay your way to get over there. Big thanks to Top Sport, our major sponsor. They're Australian owned and operated. They have got about 100 markets on the US Open. So all those props that Nick Tedeschi was talking about, make cut, miss cut, head-to-heads for the round, for the tournament, top live. They've got top lefty markets. You'll go dizzy looking at them, and hopefully we've tipped you into a couple of winners along the way. But that's a wrap from us, and we'll see you at the next major. Thanks, guys.